Okay, you're very diligent coming out when it's cold. I appreciate your sincerity. Anyone have any questions?
When meditating and at some stage, sometimes you notice that the body, once it's just the body, you shuffle the body around too much, then sort of distracts it from the deeper.
I do both. Yeah, I do both. I guess it's like when you're settling in, I think it's okay to adjust a bit. So I probably let myself for the first 20 minutes have a couple of wriggles. And then after that 20 minutes, it's like, you're going to be mindful of feelings as feelings. So I think when you come to your cushion, there's like, there is a kind of a putting down the day process, isn't there? And a kind of really arriving on the mat process. And maybe you haven't quite sat on the cushion in the right angle or whatever, and there's a bit of tension in the shoulder. You know, you can relax, but then at a certain point, just stay, and then you want to be knowing feelings as feelings, pleasant, neutral, unpleasant, being mindful of them. Because it's exactly what you say, if you are mindful of it, you train in mindfulness of it rather than moving, the mindfulness will get sharper, the patience will get deeper. And it's going to be some more samadhi born from those qualities.
Just a quick question. When people have calmed their mind during meditation, would they be seeing certain objects or certain things in their mind or whatever what will appear in their mind?
Yeah.
So that they know they have achieved something?
I wouldn't use the word achieve. I prefer to use the word what you've let go of. Yeah. So concentration arises in the mind, collectedness arises because of letting go of the hindrances. And if anyone sees a bright light or has a beautiful vision, it's not getting anything. This is very important to understand that right from the beginning. So it's like, let go of the hindrances, but then it is good to understand that different people experience peacefulness differently. So for some people with more visual minds, they do get like a white color or a gold color, some people it's orange, yellow. Some people with more visual minds, when the mind's collecting, get just a visual experience of a kind of a color, which is a bright. See, there's quite a few people nodding their heads, so they're experiencing that already sometimes. It's a good sign. It means that the mind has a certain amount of collectedness. Other people can get an experience as almost as if the body becomes like a mountain. You can feel this, it's almost like a tension, but it's not, it's pleasant. It's like a nak nen, they call it in Thai. Just like a sense of very, very concentrated matter. It's like a firmness. You can feel firm like a mountain, immovable. So some people have this kind of a feeling nimitta. And then other people, it might be a sense of empty space. A sense of just the perception of the body becoming much less solid, and then just that sense of space opening up usually in the mind and then spreading through the body and then just becoming quite vast, so you can feel empty like the sky. So it's like, and some people experience all of those things depending on what, you know, the mind collects in different ways on different days, depending what hindrances are there. So some people feel like, some people get that kind of rapture, other people get the spacious one, some people and the visual one, depending on different days. But those are signs of what they call piti and sukha, rapture and tranquility in Pali. So it's like when you place your mind on the object and then you keep it on the object, that's the next thing that happens. When you do that, it's just following a process, natural process, then different types of rapture will arise. Because that can be thrilling sensations. Some people might have tears rolling down their eyes, but they're happy tears. And then you go through that to a deeper tranquility. So you try not to get lost in that. It's nice, and it gives a certain amount of energy, but you try to go even deeper than that, and you get an even more fulfilling sense of deep tranquility, which can, and some people, like I said, at that point, that's when the visual thing will come. And then some people who are sensitive might occasionally see a deva or a ghost or a being from another realm. That happens also. Probably more so in Asia than Australia. That's not to mean that those beings aren't in Australia, it just means that people aren't noticing them. And either. But the thing is also not to get fascinated with visual phenomena. If people are visual, you just know. It's just like you're in the waking phenomena. We're trying to train a seeing sights. The sights, not attachment to them. Then you start to have meditation experiences, and then you get really excited about that. But it's the same thing. It's a more subtle level of visual consciousness and sunya. So it's like the deva's eye. So we train ourselves not to get attached to it. And the other thing I was saying was like, if you really, really want those feelings, you won't get them. You want more peaceful experiences, so that's something that we have to train, and we understand that it's just through staying with the meditation object that those things come in their own time. Obviously, the more we meditate, the more likely we are to experience those things. Anybody experienced some of those things? Anybody felt as big as the sky in their meditation in the past? Yeah, look, see, people nodding their heads. And anybody felt like a mountain before in meditation? Anybody had that visual, kind of a nice sense of clear light? Yeah, quite a number of people. Very good. So that's what happens when the mind is collecting.
So how do they progress from there once they reach this level?
Contentment. So you maintain your effort and you stay content and patient. So you actually increase your effort with an attitude of contentment. Very important and very subtle. So it's like you're just doing it because you have faith and you know it's the appropriate thing to do. And then the peacefulness will get more and more subtle and more deep, and you go with the peacefulness. You just allow the mind to be peaceful. Ajahn Chah says the quickest way to get enlightened is not doing anything. So this is very profound. What he's talking about is when you're there. It's like when you're meditating, you want to be more peaceful. You want more of that experience. No. That's the point where you don't do anything except stay peaceful.
Sit on it, observe it, observe the peacefulness.
Yeah, and he uses that metaphor as well. It's like you've got to hatch eggs. How do you hatch eggs? You just have to sit. A nice earthy northeast Thai analogy is just sit on the eggs until they hatch by themselves. Really? And he says also if you get up and walk around, they're not going to hatch, are they? So you have to keep coming and sitting a lot, or your eggs will never hatch. Another thing he uses with thoughts in meditation, he uses that nice chicken coop analogy as well, while we're on the egg and chicken theme. And he says, you know, when you're trying to restrain thinking when you're meditating, it's not that you try to stop all thoughts, that doesn't work, but you try not to let it go past a certain... He said, and it's just like a chicken, it'll run around, it'll peck, it'll try to eat a few bugs, at a certain point it'll get bored and it'll sit. That's the kind of attitude that you bring to your meditation, that you let it move around a little bit, and you come back, don't go outside of the coop, and at a certain point, it'll settle. It's good to sit longer. Once we're actually on the cushion, don't have to stop at half an hour. Often this is a tricky, sneaky laser as well, that kind of like, you had 5 minutes of peacefulness, and there's a sense of, okay, did my meditation. Well, we've all had that. So you don't have to get up then. It's good not to, isn't it? It's like, if you are peaceful, why not stay peaceful? I thought, all right, I'm going to go make my mind dirty now. Cool. That's what we do, don't we? It's a little bit clean, it's a little bit bright. It's like, all right, let's go and roll in the mud. Don't do that. So just stay. So what they teach in the forest tradition is once the mind has become peaceful and it wants to move, that you then you investigate the body. So you give it some work to do. It's like understanding that the self view causes us lots of suffering. Before we go back into that world and be a self, try to find where it is. Okay, is it in the toenails? Sincerely, where is it? Is it in the kneecap? Go through that body. Where's the self? Where's that self? And you use that energy that comes from that mind, and you find, no, I can't. I can't find it in my eyeballs or my ears or my... And there's a sense of, you know, that's very... It doesn't sound very... You know, it can sound a bit silly, but it's very important. So we understand that we're putting a concept onto this, which isn't the truth, and we're completely addicted to it, and it causes us enormous suffering. So that's the understanding that we have to have. That, like, because you're addicted, Ajahn Menindo uses the phrase, he says, we're all psychopaths, which is, you know, that's kind of like making it obvious what the problem is. It's like making it extreme because, yeah, I have this little self-view problem. He's like, no, until you're a sotapanna, you're a psychopath. And because that it's very deluded. So we understand because we're very deluded and because we want to move beyond our delusion, we investigate, where is the self, where is the self? And you get that sense of, okay, I feel like there's a self, but I understand that it isn't. Well, that makes us much less reactive and makes us much more mindful. So it's at that point, after the mind is peaceful, that do a bit of investigation, as the teachers are saying. Very dangerous, actually, if the mind's peaceful, to then go in straight to the fridge and have the cheesecake. That's serious, because you open the mind up with this good, clean energy, and it's got energy in it, and instead of going into wisdom, if you hit the sensuality, you can be like bringing your focus, collected attention to the cheesecake. And then you might find that you start to really like it, even more than before. So it's like, so you can cultivate kilesa. That's an important point. You can actually unmindfully, not knowing what you're doing, deepen your attachments. If you take this bright collected mind and then go and do your favorite hedonistic thing. So it's just a word of warning. And, there's a lot of tricks, aren't there? A lot of things to learn. A lot of things not to do. Sorry?
A lot of unaware tricks.
Yes.
Unaware. One last question.
Yeah.
How do you deal with people who like to hurt you with chocolates and all, and for various reasons you cannot avoid them?
Yeah. That's quite a question to ask at 9:15. When people use sharp words and you can't avoid them. So obviously it's depending on the kind of mindfulness and the kind of samadhi that you have, because there's many ways to practice with that. For most of us, it would be, you'd be telling yourself, be patient. At the beginning level, it's like, be patient, don't react. And then you'll have to kind of, that wanting to react, it's like, look, you have to be a bit fierce with yourself as well. You karmically generated this in the past, it's coming back now, you want to make more karma that's going to make more of it appear, you know, you can apply that. You have to, when you want to react, or if it's just a matter of feeling hurt, if we're feeling hurt, we're not going to react, we don't want to react, we don't want to say anything about it, we just feel hurt, well then directly apply the loving kindness in that moment to the unpleasant mental feeling. So it's like, okay, that person isn't offering you love, but you can offer it to yourself right there in that moment. Most people don't realize that. You're running around feeling, oh, he shouldn't have, oh, it hurts. It's like, okay, that's one way to deal with it. But another way to deal with it is to offer yourself the goodwill and the acceptance that you want. Then we don't have to feel so neglected or rejected or hurt by those who don't offer it to us. But it takes training. You've got to do a lot of loving kindness so that it's there when you need it. It's like a muscle, and you can flex it. It's like, okay, loving kindness, right there, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be well, may I be happy. Don't pick this up. We can actually do that in moments, so don't pick this up, you don't need to. Leave it with him, leave it with her. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be well. So that's if one has some samadhi skills and some tools, you can apply them right in that moment. But often it's a matter of be patient, don't react, don't make more karma, and then going and sitting on the cushion and kind of bathing the mind and kind of... If you can avoid them, the Buddha said it's okay too. If you can't, then you can also see it as purifying karma. So it's like, okay, well, there's going to be less of this in the future. You try to be optimistic. It's like, okay, thank you for helping me get through that karmic obstruction. Anyway... You know, people have to go, I think. So. Okay.